Dolphinville on the big island of Hawaii in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Beautiful planet ocean here. Chirping our way through the universe and the solar system and in this galaxy. Welcome. Welcome to another show of Dolphinville. I'm your host. This is Dolphinus. Dolphinus Douglas. Today we have the pleasure of a Maine Lion person coming over to get herself involved in Hawaii. She's felt the calling, just as many of us have, of the dolphins and whales. Dr. Lori Moore is here to join us today. And Lori's got quite a history of being a public figure over in California on the West Coast. And she's going to be bringing some of her experiences from her work as an expressive arts psychologist and therapist, as well as some of her writings and some of the newer things that are coming in, channeling the star beings and animal guides, as well as her incredible intuition of the whales and dolphins. So welcome to our show, Lori.
Aloha, Dolphinus. I'm really grateful to be here today.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's really happy to have you, and I want to acknowledge that for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time or haven't listened too closely in the last couple of shows, all of these shows have been sponsored by our friends at photon.net. This is a service that they're doing because we all believe that a conscious community is possible, and we're experimenting with what that feels like in cyberspace, and we're coming closer and closer to it, incrementally moving towards a holistic mind, what it feels like to be in the liquid mind of Gaia. And so this is part of the exercise, an experiment in time and space, as I like to call it. And we have liquid now as this day, just after the weekend of the great Thanksgiving, I call it. I kept calling it Thanksgiving all weekend, but basically it's St. Valentine's Day, something that celebrated love, Cupid, togetherness, and the great, great feeling that we share with partnership. And partnership seems to be a major issue of the new millennium. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to explore some of these issues because Dr. Lori Moore has been known as an expert on relationship and emotional health and has appeared in some radio shows and television shows. She has a PhD in expressive arts psychology as well as a master's in expressive arts. She went through school after being in the performing arts for a number of years, studying actually at the famed Bard College in upstate New York. She's appeared on such shows as The John Walsh Show, The Ricky Lake Show, and The O'Reilly Factor. Any of you who know about those shows are going to yourself now, what is a spiritual person doing on network television? But it occurred to me that this kind of mainstream of informational flow is in dire need of really, really high frequency information. So it's really, really important that people with vision and people who are able to express these new visionary concepts are able to get on these kinds of programs. And as far as her mission statement, you know, her purpose has been to provide a service and assist people moving into a deeper experience of their inner and outer joy, peace, love, wellness, wealth, harmony, and gratitude while turning apparent problems into new solutions. Services that she offers to her people are grounded in a heartfelt wisdom, practical thinking, sound methods and intuitive sensitivity that she's learned through practical experience and also have been gifted from talented people and animals who have been coming into her, giving her different characteristics of how to form a whole brain of thinking. She's written books. One of them has been published and is pretty well known out there. John Gray told of his book, John Gray, as we all know, Men Are From Venus, Women Are From Mars. He wrote about Lori's book, A Practical Guide to Better Relationships, Creative Intimacy, in saying that anyone who's committed to experiencing a healthy and happy relationship will benefit from her book. And there are other people who've recognized the quality and the clarity in some of the very simple things that she's bringing up that people can consider. The 5 points that she wanted people to consider in her first book, Creative Intimacy, was 1, you can turn shyness into confidence overnight. 2, you can avoid a divorce by knowing your partner's romantic uniqueness. 3, you can turn years of arguments into positive solutions in 1 minute. 4, you will create the most durable solutions to relationship challenges with gratitude. And last but not least, when you take charge of releasing a self-defeating pattern, you automatically make room for a relationship miracle. And these were the points that were successfully received in your first book and been talked about in some of these radio shows. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The main point, which I really want to focus on, being gratitude. I find again and again that gratitude is the key to healing, the key to instantaneous change, and really the key to fulfillment. What we're searching for, whatever it is, can come in a moment when we put our focus on gratitude.
Well, those are good words to learn, and we're going to be discussing how we can get in touch with that aspect of ourselves, something that's freely available to everybody, something that we seem to have when we were children, free of charge, and it got conditioned out of us. There's other things that Dr. Lori Moore has written about, and a second book that she is about to publish. It'll be published soon, I'm sure, because it's a very, very important topic. It's about choosing your life mate and doing it wisely with intelligent love, as she calls it. And the focus of that book are really 8 points, and we'll touch on some of these in this show, as well as some of the other things that we've discussing. But let me go over them real briefly before we get into this, and then we can sort of move into a whole line of things that we want to get involved in. Right now, she feels that your desire for a long-term couple can make sure that you're compatible in 7 areas, the 7 areas that kind of match up with the chakras of the body. So it came to her that if we matched those energy centers of her body and found those as compatible with others, that we'd have a greater degree of success. Number one being grace. Grace is a feeling of magic that is not only love or sexual passion. It's something that's pulling you together, and you don't know what that is. Time will show you what grace can be in your relationship. It may be that you have something important to teach each other. It may be that you will care for each other in special ways. There's something beyond the two of you that's pulling you together, and the relationship without this force will become boring and unsatisfying unless you know and recognize that as an essential element. And you put this at the top of the list. I'm assuming that you're ranking this in intelligence or in importance?
Actually, the list is from the crown chakra down to the root chakra.
Okay. So grace being the crown chakra,
yes,
of a relationship. Right below that, in the third eye perspective, is what you're calling the third eye. Each of you benefits from the other's viewpoints. Each other offers an outlook that delights you. One of the things that occurred to me one time when I was trying to describe what a relationship, an ideal relationship would be, would be picture two people embracing and holding each other face to face while one is looking over the shoulder of the other one and describing in perfect detail 180 degrees that the other one cannot see, and doing it in total trust so that you have a 360-degree perspective.
How wonderful. And isn't that the beauty of relationship? And isn't it wonderful to put ourselves in relationships where we really value the other one's perspective, where the perspective nourishes us and where we feel valued? Because unfortunately, so often a couple will come into the office and I really feel they're trying to get me to change the other's perspective, when the beauty of relationship is really nurturing the other perspective. This actually reminds me of a specific story I'd like to talk about, perspective. I have a wonderful client who came in, and when he first came to see me, he had been experiencing severe depression and often thought of maybe killing himself. It was that bad, the pain he was feeling. And he thought that he would like me to do some coaching and probably some behavior modification with him. And what we realized together was that was feeling very uncomfortable, not real, and unhelpful, and that what he really needed was complete acknowledgement for who he was. And so my job became to be simply to feed back to him whatever he was sharing about himself with me, to say it back in my own words, but just to acknowledge it for what it was, not to step in and try to play some authority role or make it different in any way. And that was very, very healing from him. I've seen, when this client comes in now, I feel great bliss. I always say this is my client who's bringing the temple in when he comes, because he's definitely become the healer. His healing came from accessing his true self. So you really want to choose a partner whose true self you enjoy, not one that you want to change. Mm-hmm. You want to be with someone who loves who you are, because when you go home, home is your place to be cared for and to be treated as special just for being yourself, not for having to make anything up.
I think that's a wonderful point, and often people overlook that. They think, well, I'll be able to accommodate this slight difference in our perspectives because I really get off on this person's smile or their laughter, and maybe that's important too, but to carry on with these things, if you match up with these 7 points that we're talking about, the chances and likelihood of a successful relationship go up, you know, arithmetically perhaps. The third one that we associate with the mouth in the chakra system is one that you've identified as communication. You're able to share yourselves with each other in a very comfortable manner. And you kind of touched upon this with perspective. This foundation will be necessary when challenges arise between you, and each person is unique, so the communication issues come up in every partnership. But it's important to be able to find a foundation, a good one, that the challenges can be overcome through a wide open communication.
Good point, because we are all unique, but like Dolphin has said, there will be challenges that arise, and that's part of the wonder of relationship, that we get to learn about another person's unique world. But if there isn't that easiness from the beginning, it can become all challenges, and that's not necessary. We don't need that. I want to add that we're given the message over and over, books, movies, television, etc., that you fall in love and that you have an amazing feeling towards someone, and that's why you develop a relationship. And when that's the only reason for a relationship, we can run into a lot of difficulty. Choosing a relationship consciously doesn't mean that you don't have a wonderful feeling for someone, that you don't feel great love and great passion. It means that the other areas are intact, so you have a safe container. Just like if you build a home, you want to have a floor. You want to have a roof. If it rains and there's no roof, you're in trouble. Well, it's that simple with relationship. If you don't pick a relationship where each area is compatible, you will be in trouble.
You're asking for it. In other words,
yeah.
You've got holes there that need to be mended. Well, moving on down this paradigm of or example of relationship model in the chakra system, the next chakra down is the throat chakra. And we all hear about getting choked up over something and emotionally involved. And you actually associate that with love, and love is eternal. You feel love now, is that correct?
No, I associate the heart chakra with love.
Oh, so
we went through the communication. Yeah.
Oh, so the throat is communication.
That's what I associate with communication.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, forgive me, I'm not getting my chakra system very straight here. Probably should have a chart on the wall. I'm spacing out here. So love is actually the heart chakra center.
Yes. And my opinion about all love is unconditional, all love is eternal, and we simply fall out of states of love. And the way back in is gratitude. I'd actually like to ask everyone right now to take a minute and just close your eyes and think of a time when you were grateful for somebody or something or yourself. And when you do that, breathe full and breathe deep and notice how you feel simply by taking yourself to a place of gratitude. Notice any sensations in your body, emotions running through you, accompanying thoughts. And now open your eyes and just notice if you take yourself to this place, at any moment in time, you take yourself to your heart. So love isn't something that just magically falls upon us and if we're lucky it lasts. We have the potential to be in a state of love with every person, every being, every animal, and we actually are love. We are the lover and the beloved. That's all we are. We take ourselves back to that state through gratitude. So even though we're conditioned to think, oh, if I'm lucky, I'll fall in love and I'll remain in a state of magic, we can consciously return to the state of magic that is inherent in our heart, every single one of us.
And that's the gratitude.
Yes.
Well, when you were saying that, and I was breathing into it, and it felt as if my chest cavity was expanding out from the heart like a sun that was glowing and warm and expansive.
So wonderful. And I'm not going to take people through this exercise because I don't really even want to take you there, but I'm going to share that sometimes when it depends on the group of people I'm working with, but when I feel I'm with a group who's not quite getting that message, I do ask them to go through a meditation where they think of their complaints. And you immediately wilt. You know, that heart just shrinks. You can take yourself to a state of shrinking and separation and not feeling good. You can take yourself right back to your connectedness, your love, right through your heart.
Well, it gets back to our element of choice, and this is really one of the primary things that we've been talking about, and how our personal choice is really manifesting the life that we live.
Yeah, every minute we have the choice. And people will often say, well, I don't have the choice because I have this terrible habit I can't break. And the habit can be something very external, such as some people say, well, I can't stop drinking alcohol, and yet it's killing me. And someone else will have something more subtle, but it's the same kind of self-defeating habit we all struggle with. I can't stop thinking judgmental thoughts about people, even though I don't even believe my own thoughts. All these kind of habits, they're all the same habit. They're a habit of separation. They're a habit of not feeling our safety in love. And these habits can be erased. There's assistance, there's methods, there's help. There's many kinds of ways to do this, and we'll go more into that as the show evolves today.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're here to discuss this, and it's, as I say, it's only timely that we're coming off of a weekend of romance and partnership and thinking of such things of people being together in different ways. So moving down this chakra point chart, right under the heart chakra, we're looking at the cavity around the stomach area. I think the Hawaiians call it the na'u, which is to them the center of power and the center of the solar plexus area. It's a very, very powerful eminence. And you identify it as the romantic passion and chemistry within each person.
No, what's actually the emotional chemistry.
Oh, so we're flipping around.
And I have the romantic chemistry as the sexual chakra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So in my information had them transposed here. But it is a chemical reaction. You're saying an emotional chemistry, making sure that what you feel, a balance of passion, which is the inspiration, and calmness and peace when you spend long periods of time with that person.
Yes. Rudolf Steiner, who many of you have heard about, developed biodynamic farming and discovered that certain vegetables will thrive when planted next to each other. And take those same vegetables, I believe the beets and the carrots are really happy together. And if you plant them next to something else, like the garlic, I believe the garlic and onions, you farmers out there will know, but I believe the garlics and onions are quite happy together, but if you put either of those next to the carrots or beets, there's some disturbance and they don't grow as well. Well, that doesn't make anyone wrong or bad. All four of those forms of life that we eat are wonderful and contributions, but some of them just aren't right together. And you might notice that you have certain friends that if you spend a lot of time with them, maybe you're just overexcited or you're tired out. Not because there's anything wrong with either of you, it's just the chemistry. So in our way of thinking in the United States where I live, we don't always think about things like this. But where Ayurvedic medicine is practiced, for example, in India, there's more of an attentiveness to that. We have certain elemental chemistries based on earth, fire, air, water, what we're made of. And that has to work, too, because we live in a 3D world. We live on many dimensions, and that includes the physical dimension, where we want that dimension to be in balance in a compatible relationship.
Those are all very... wisdom beyond your years. I'm looking at a young woman here who could be easily 15 or 16 years old and a delicate, wonderful voice, and yet, years of wisdom and understanding seem to be coming up. I would say quite safely you've gotten in touch with some very deep, deep realms within your own self, and you are indeed an old soul.
Thank you.
So after emotional chemistry, moving on down into the sexual center, you're calling it the romantic passion and chemistry that stimulated the passion and love. We both need to be strong between the pull between people. And often so much importance is put on that in a relationship, and the whole relationship either centers around that, either being or not being there, as to the success or failure of partnerships.
Yeah, and we can understand why we put so much importance on that is because that's the one area that we share with our partner alone. I mean, all your friends get to benefit from your perspective, but the majority of people have a monogamous relationship. And so we put a lot of importance on it, but really everything is equally important. And that's very important. That's your vitality, and you want that to connect with your partner. Sometimes an initial attraction is taken to mean many things that it's not other than an initial attraction. Yes, you want someone who you have that very wonderful attraction to, but you want everything else in place as well. And you want to make sure that attraction is followed by you are celebrating your sexuality in a way that works for both of you, because some couples share that even though there's a strong attraction, their way of communicating on a physical level just doesn't match. So you need to know that that matches if you want to be happy with somebody.
Mm-hmm. And that's through trial and error oftentimes. The dating or the courtship game that people often play starts with that more primal attraction and element. So we've come down the chakra points. We're down to the root chakra now, which you're identifying as the practical lifestyle compatibility. And that would be if you sat down and made a list of everything important to you on the practical terms, for example, how much time you prefer with a maid, children, family, weekends, food, religion, so on, spirituality. If you put your mind to it, you'll come up with at least 20 ways that are important for ways for you to live. So if you have that list, you want to be able to see that a majority of those things are being ticked off with your partner, or every one of those, or
what you want to do is look at your individual list, because some people have 3 things on their list and some people have 100, and it's not right or wrong. You be as picky as you want, and if you feel more general about things, you be as general as you want. But look at your list and circle which items are necessities for you. If you are with a partner who doesn't have those aspects, those qualities, in terms of your practical compatibility, you won't be happy. Circle those ones and just make sure you find a partner that has those. Now, some people say, well, it's not like that. You know, you just fall in love. You can't have any control over these things. We have great consciousness over things. We create all kinds of realities. And if you keep saying that, you will create that reality. But I watch client after client who is committed to what they really want, what their heart is asking for, what all of their self is asking for, exercise patience, you know, make finding the right relationship actually a task, a playful, fun learning task, and ending up with someone who, with whom they can really be happy. And then I find people who settle for something that's not right for them, and it's really unfortunate for them and the partner, and they come back unhappy, wanting therapy to solve something that it's not going to solve.
Well, loneliness is a big factor out there, and people would maybe settle for whatever they can get in lieu of not having anyone. How do you answer somebody who says, you know, I've tried and I have my list, and people say that you're asking for too much, you want all these points to be checked off, and, you know, perhaps you're letting somebody go by who is almost a fit?
Well, I have 2 stories I'd like to share about that. One's personal and one is regarding a client of mine. The personal story is that I had always wanted to end up with a life mate with whom I felt really good and really sure and really at home. And that just wasn't working for me. I was having a lot of learning experiences. I was having a lot of heartbreaks. And there came a time where I realized that what I was going to do after ending a relationship on good terms, it just wasn't, both of us decided we weren't suitable to be a couple together. My tendency would have been to spend a lot of time grieving, very upset about it. And I decided that what I was going to do instead was go completely into the grief, instead of letting it linger on day after day. I spent some time at home. I was assuming this would take maybe 6 months. It took a few hours. I think I spent about 6 hours. I went deep into my heart. I went past the grief into the feeling of deep loneliness. It had nothing to do with that relationship or any other relationship. It had to do with part of the pathway of being human, or part of the reality of being human. And I just embraced that loneliness. I sat in it. I felt it. I let it be okay. As I said, I thought I would be having to do this for many months. And it shifted. I popped out. I was fine. I was complete. I felt whole. I felt good. I felt happy. And I knew that I didn't really ever need to be in a relationship again. And unless a relationship came to me that brought me great joy and that came easily and that was really more like a mirror of my own joy, that I wasn't wanting one anymore, because I realized that I had been taught to think a relationship would fill up something inside myself that nobody outside can fill up. And after that, shortly after that, I met my partner, and the quality of relationship I have with him is not anything like the relationships I was in before. So my point is, don't go looking to fill your loneliness with someone else, because it's not going to work anyway. You fill your loneliness by embracing your loneliness, by making peace with your loneliness, and you'll discover your loneliness is simply a type of energy. It's simply an energy in your body. It's nothing more than a physical sensation. And once you sit with it and be with it and stop resisting it, you will find it naturally changes into something else, a deeper, good relationship with yourself. And that's the place you want to be in relationship from.
That's really good advice. And you know, I think, you know, you hear about people having that challenge, and I certainly can identify with that challenge within myself of not wanting to be and have that feeling of loneliness. And so looking for relationships that will at least give a quick fix to that. So one of the other challenges I see in of this era of time with relationships is that the cultural programming has given us a model, so to speak, of what marriage and partnership should look like. And he spoke of monogamy as the typical model. Most everybody wants to have a single relationship with another person. And so often, though, as the institution of marriage seems to frame, that you're developing a conditional relationship with that person. We agree to be married and live together and to nurse each other in sickness and health and until death do us part. All those contractual things, which seems to take the idea of an unconditional love relationship and totally shave it off and put it in a box. So how do we overcome that if we want the ideal scenario for our heart to express its universal joy is to be in an unconditional love state? And yet most of the models of relationship don't seem to address that.
Well, your ability to be in an unconditional love state is really your soul calling. And your willingness to do that with whomever you're with is your opportunity, because you can be in a state of intimacy, oneness, love with everything in your heart all the time. That's the opportunity. The relationship, the couple relationship, is meant to help nurture that. And part of nurturing that is looking in the mirror and seeing what isn't that, because that's what a couple relationship will do. It'll bring to our attention our ability to be in love and everything in the way. And so the couple relationship can be a place where you can look at what's in the way and learn how to change that about yourself or remove what's in the way. I'm not quite sure if I answered what you were asking.
Well, that's in the vicinity, and I think we'll try to get in and come back at the subject of unconditional love and as it's related to the dolphins and whales, particularly because in my experience, the dolphins particularly have given me so many beautiful examples of what that sensation actually feels like. And so hopefully we'll be able to cover and get more involved with that. Perhaps right now, I wanted the people to hear one of your musical things that you had composed and are singing on. Perhaps you can give us a little bit of an intro into one of the tracks we're going to listen to for a couple minutes here.
Sure. This is a song that I wrote after my wonderful mother, who I really love very dearly, passed away out of her body. And I was listening to my heart, and what I felt was this deep, deep, deep calling to all humanity to recognize the love that is inside of us.
And it's called?
And it is called The Voice That Lights Campfires in Your Heart.
I like it. We'll listen to that and be back in a few minutes.
I am the voice. I rustle through the brave old maple trees. I am the voice that lights campfire in your heart. I will be with humankind for years and years to come. I've been with you since the start. I am calling to you, calling to you, calling to you, calling to you. I don't want to go. I need your eyes, your ears, your arms, your life, your love for my love to continue to unfold. I am your song. I am your song. Your human song. Your human song. I will sing through you each time you hear me, and you can listen. You need not fear me. Hey. muscle of a mountain walker and strength of forest blue through time. In winter I am muffin rye, bedded in bacon tonight.
Okay, we're coming back now with Dr. Lori Moore from the West Coast, up around Santa Cruz, where we know there's a very, very strong energy emitting right from the natural landscape there. Artists and spiritualists have found that area for generations now to be very powerful, in addition to the Silicon Valley people who've been able to plug into technology. So a lot is happening on that front. It's great to have you on the show. I want to remind everybody that this is Dolphinville coming at you. We're spreading out light lines everywhere across the planet. We've had responses from people as far away as India and people in South Africa and all across Europe and South America, Australia. We know that this is reaching out, and it's really kind of neat to know that this information and the information here is based on something that I would like to say is coming from a place of joy in my heart, because I get to live here in the middle of the big Pacific. I get to swim with these amazing creatures, the dolphins and the whales, and celebrate what I call the Cetacean Nation. And all the people that I invite on the show usually share that kind of enthusiasm. And we have a lot to share when it comes to the kind of message that the dolphins and whales have been giving us. But first of all, I want you to know this is being brought to you by Photon.net. Photon.net is an internet service provider, and they have thousands of dial-ups all over the country, United States, Hawaii, and they provide a whole range of internet services such as web hosting and e-commerce, multimedia broadcasting, of which we are doing right now. We're getting into virtual tours, webmail, and much, much more. So if you like what you're hearing, know that it's coming from a conscious communicator, Randy Barris at Photon.net. And Dolphinville is a conscious cyber community attempting to see what it feels like to be on the same wave frequency and accepting that we're not alone as a species on this planet or in the universe. We have great examples of another sentient intelligence right here off of our shores. Every day we have an opportunity to swim with dolphins and sometimes swim and see whales at close encounters. I know that you were brought here by that very notion. You got turned on to Dolphinville Radio. Joan Ocean was giving us, sharing some of her information. And this has become a part of your new influxes, and the guys have steered you into this direction. But you use dolphins in your work now, or you emulate some of what the dolphins represent for some of your work?
Well, what happened was last summer I made a meditation place outside and invited all the different animal species to come in and give their messages to me. I feel a great reverence, gratitude. I just love animals, and I feel they have been my greatest teachers. And I had come across a wonderful animal communicator named Gina Palmer, and upon hearing her, I began to feel more comfortable to share my experiences. I had great fear. People would think, you know, there goes Lori again. I've always been very creative, and, you know, in her fantasy world. I do feel a difference between guided information and information that my mind's making up. And sometimes there's a marriage. I guess a lot of the times there's a union between the two.
Well, Joan talks about that union. And myself, I call it opening the two eyes. Intuition and imagination marry together to form a filter that we can start to intelligently disseminate the information coming in.
Yeah, that's how we create it. We're co-creating it. We're part of it. We are part of the creation. So soon after I had started to meditate outside and invited the different animal species in, a beautiful kind of golden energy began to expand my cells. And it began to open me up and create spaciousness inside me that I had never known before. And as time went on, I began to recognize this as the dolphins.
Had you been with dolphins prior to that?
No, not in the physical realm. And that's something I really want to, I want people to hear that, because I want you to know that it doesn't matter where you are on the physical realm, you can tune in to any part of consciousness, because you actually are all consciousness. And so you can tune in to any place, anything you need to, wherever you are. And we're going to be, my guess is we're going to be learning more and more about that as a society, because there's a lot of information coming in from all places right now about that. But what the dolphins did was they showed me that the world's a lot more fluid than I knew it to be. It's a very fluid place. Everything's in flux. Everything's in motion. And what they showed me is that what's real is a deep, profound love. That I'm the beloved and I'm the lover. I'm both. And I felt a kind of love, a complete fullness all inside my own heart that the dolphin showed me. While they were showing that to me, what I mean by showing is they were assisting me in feeling that, coming into my own feeling of that reality. They were showing me as well that everything else going on is just passing. Every emotion I have, every thought, every physical sensation is simply energy passing. And that's fun. To the dolphins, that's fun. Mm-hmm. To us, we have all kinds of stories about it. And as a therapist, I help people make good stories about it because we can get lost in negative stories and interpretations about it. It's just energy. But what we're really searching for all the time is right here. It's the love.
I can see you express that with a lot of enthusiasm. Well, the dolphins certainly bring out so much in the people that I've experienced, and it's been my pleasure to be able to take people into the water, introducing them to that experience. My function basically is to make them feel comfortable enough so they're not worried about being in the ocean or what else might come up from the deeps. And when they do have that encounter, they're just floating free in this liquid atmosphere.
That's wonderful. And you know, the ocean is a great friend. I've been staying over in Molokai, and what I feel the ocean trying to tell us is just that the ocean is sweetness, and the ocean is a very divine maternal force. It is a friend. The ocean is a friend. And the dolphins they've greatly influenced my work. A friend of mine was telling me before I came over that he came and swam with the dolphins in this area. And he was singing a song to them through his snorkeling equipment. And they surrounded him, a pod surrounded him, and they sang the song back. And isn't that delightful to think of? Could therapy be a place where instead of people coming in to get fixed, changed, advised, just come in to get acknowledged and celebrated? That'll heal everyone.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that's very much a part of your work, too. And the dolphins seem to, here they are, they have vasts of miles, thousands of miles they could swim. The shores, you know, go up for miles and miles. And yet we have an opportunity sometimes to be in proximity. They could swim up to 30 miles an hour and be away from us in the blink of an eye, and yet they choose to come up and give us an eye-to-eye contact, and with that, so much energy, a burst of joy that seems to come with it. And you're saying this can be accessible through the heart or through the consciousness of each individual.
Yeah, this is unconditional joy, and it's actually the only real joy, because the things that we think make us temporarily happy that come and go, that's a very different kind of energetic happiness. If you need something or someone or an experience or a situation or a raise or a diploma or anything to make you happy, it doesn't really make you. Nothing can make you happy. You actually are happy. You just forgot. The dolphins remember.
They help you remember.
They help
too.
Us to remember if we allow them, if we invite them in.
Well, we talk often about cellular memory as a way of accessing some of the maybe primal codes that were engineered into our physical beings way long time ago that we don't even have measure of anymore. Seem to be we're starting to reactivate these hidden DNA factors. And you talked a little bit about DNA earlier in our conversation.
Yeah, I learned a lot about DNA from my cat to start with. And since then, the canines and the star beings have been giving me a lot of information. I also have learned a lot of DNA through just learning different healing techniques, because as I was saying before, we can feel that we have habits that aren't really ours. And when we're feeling that, what's going on is our soul is vibrating in one way. Our soul knows its calling, but our body and our mind have either been conditioned through our ancestry, because the body and mind do remember. They have, like you were saying, genetic coding. And more evidence is coming out that somebody could go through a traumatic experience. Maybe birth was a traumatic experience for them. That gets coded into the DNA at that time, and then that can get passed along to the next generation and the next generation. So right now is a very amazing opportunity for humanity when we can learn to accept in the help that is available so we can recode our own DNA and refine, I think is what you're suggesting, hidden codes in our DNA.
they call it the junk DNA, that area of our body that biologists can't figure out what it is, so it's just junk, you know, stuff that doesn't plug into anything.
And it's probably the wisest.
It could be that that's really the keys that need to be unlocked. There's been a lot of speculation from intuitives that that part of our DNA system was shut down intentionally so many civilizations ago. It may have been the Atlantean experiments or whatever the case. It could have been that we were sent into this biosphere with governors, as you will, on our DNA coding because we weren't capable of activating our full potentiality because we hadn't grown emotionally, perhaps, in order to be able to facilitate those kinds of things. So there's lots of reasons. I know that when we talk about dolphins and whales, this is the subject that always brings me into a heart-centered space. And we talk about the phenomenon of what it is about unconditional love. But you wrote an article about unconditional joy. How would you describe that that's different than unconditional love?
Well, joy is just the celebration of unconditional love. And like I was saying, real joy is unconditional. So the difference is simply joy is the celebration of the love.
And the animals have helped you come to a complete, more complete understanding of joy.
Yeah, it was really my cat, Jesse, who opened up my heart to trusting all the spiritual experiences I've been having since I was born and who influenced me to allow myself to remember all these experiences. I was very scared to let myself trust these experiences as real. I think that fear came not just from this lifetime, but probably experiences that I can't even access. It feels so old. But what Jesse, now I call him Jesse Justin Joy. What Jesse Justin Joy did was his body got taken by the coyotes. And I was devastated. I was quite distraught because my connection with him was so strong. And I was advised by a psychic and two animal intuitives that Jesse Justin Joy was trying to get back to me. And he would get back to me if I could just return to state of joy. And I was saying, when are you coming back, if you can really do it? And his message to me is, you're waiting for me to come back. I'm waiting for you. We were happy together. You need to be happy to magnetize me back because I'm in a state of joy. What happened was I kept approaching little kittens who looked like him in his old tiger body. And I've always had a thing with cats. They love me. They run up to me. All of a sudden, no kittens would have anything to do with me. It was quite clear none of these kittens were Jesse. I had a feeling I should go to the animal shelter where I found him the first time. And there was a cat there named Shadow. And Shadow had shown up the day after Jesse Justin Joy had disappeared. And I contacted the animal communicators again, and Jesse assured them that he could exchange his soul, put his soul in Shadow's body, and Shadow's soul would be happy to go somewhere else. Okay, this was too much for me to believe, but I would try anything to get my cat back, anything. So I arranged to take Shadow home, and I remember driving home in the car and feeling this Shadow character who was sweet, benevolent, kind cat, but not my cat. Not the cat I knew, in the car, in the body. And then Jesse Justin Joy was totally there, but he wasn't in Shadow's body. He was lingering in the air. I could feel him. So we got home, and I took Shadow out, and he had very different behaviors than my cat. And I was very sad, and I thought, well, I'm going to unfortunately have to tell these animal communicators that it wasn't real. And I just sat on my bed, and I said, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to find peace with all this. Maybe he'll show up at some point, and I need to make peace with this new animal who's now in my home and needs love. And I sat there for about 2 hours, and I started to feel okay about it all, and I started to feel at peace. Whoop! There's Jesse Justin Joy jumping up on the bed, looking in my eyes.
In the body of Shadow.
Mm-hmm. And I said, if it's you, you have to look into my eyes because it's the only way I'm going to know for sure it's your soul. He looked into my eyes for an hour, which is not what cats usually do, and then he did his little twisty turn, mushed his back against mine like he would do every night, and then we went around the house, and he showed me that it was him. We went into the kitchen, and he used to give me a little nip on the ankle if I didn't give him savory cuts. I like to give him different food because it's healthier for him, but I didn't give him savory cuts. I got my little nip on the ankle. I gave him savory cuts, and I was teaching a workshop the next day, so by the next day, it was Jesse just enjoying me. All these people came in, and they started to comment, wow, you must have had your cat for a long time. You're just so bonded. And I decided to share the story, and I was scared because I had never shared these stories beyond my closest friends before, these kind of stories. And to my surprise, people cried, people laughed, people shared their own stories. And I knew that it was time, that the world is more open now to accepting a lot of realities that we have pretended to not be true.
I think that's absolutely true, and that's why more of these types of stories are coming in.
Yeah.
And from my, you know, where we are here, being in proximity of the wonderful cetaceans, everyone has got their stories of connection and how they would put out a thought form or a question and it would come bouncing back, or a bubble would be blown, or a dolphin would jump and twist. And some of the profound things that have happened from people who have had experiences with the whales as opposed to the dolphins, and how different that experience is. Now, you've had some experience with that as well. How would you characterize the difference between your experience of whales?
The whale is being. The funny place is, the first time I experienced the whale was in my bathtub.
And you and Jimmy Twyman in the bathtub. No, not with Jimmy, of course.
The whale energy took me over. The dolphin recognizes duality. The dolphin plays with duality. The dolphin makes the ego fine. The ego is just fun. It's a game. It's fine. The dolphin makes nothing wrong. It just makes fun with what is, with the states of separation and the state of oneness. The whale just is. And I can't be with the whale when I'm acknowledging the whale. I try to love the whale. I can love the dolphin, but I can only be the whale. When I'm loving the whale, sure, I can love the whale in its form, but when I'm loving the whale in the deepest state of love, I have to be the love and the love being loved at the same time. I have to be oneness. The state of oneness is available now. You don't have to spend years chanting and meditating. That's great to do too, and you know, but it's been taught that there were many times in history that you had to go through all kinds of endurance and teachers, and I asked for the oneness. I asked for a direct line. I had enough time with gurus. It wasn't going to the deep enough place for me. It wasn't acknowledging my own unique way of coming back into the oneness. And I prayed for a direct line to source at all times and to be back in the Garden of Eden. And that prayer was immediately answered. And since then, it's been one occasion after another of just awakening and feeling the oneness, the love. And that I share that because that is available to everyone.
Well, it's kind of a state of mind, so to speak, to go back to the Garden of Eden. But what could you recommend, say, the physical things that one could do to make the body more receptive to receiving whales?
Well, as you know, we are made mostly out of water. And if you feed yourself with gratitude, like I keep saying, you will become gratitude. And when you live in your heart and you live in gratitude, all this is yours right now. So you mentioned there was someone here who wrote a book about water recently. I don't recall his name.
Well, there was the Japanese doctor,
yes,
who came in and gave a lecture here, and his work is revolutionary.
Yes.
Although the scientific community is not embracing it because it's too radical.
Yes, but in his work, he's shown how if we practice gratitude with water, beautiful crystal formations,
exactly,
are made. Practice that with everything. Practice that every time you drink a cup of water. Practice that with yourself. Practice that when you bathe. And you start to turn yourself into gratitude. And ask for assistance, because our willpower can't do it. I ask for assistance all the time. And guides have come in and taken out pockets of just stuff that, no matter how good my heart intentions were, I can't clean my own body. I can't clean generations of humanity outside, out of my body. I asked for help, and help has come. Some of the star beings came in and actually turned pockets of old junk, resentment, yuck stuff into benevolence. So you can ask, you can treat yourself with love and gratitude. And if that sounds really far out, star beings and things like that, you don't need to go there. Just practice gratitude.
Well, there's a big question that comes to people's minds, particularly when you're talking about non-physical entities or non-human entities. Whales and dolphins are one thing, but you're talking about star entities or angelic beings or animal guides that are really kind of in the twilight zone of our cultural matrix. Now, how do you justify that for people who you say, you know, let it go if you don't understand that? But yeah, so much of the information that you're accessing now is starting to come from these other non-three-dimensional realms.
Anything you apply gratitude to will grow. It's like watering a plant. if you have an inclination or sense that you're getting guided by something beyond your individual self, give it some gratitude and see what happens. And then trust your instincts. Trust
so
your own instincts.
If a negative thing is coming in, if you are, reveal gratitude and joy towards that negative thing. Well, let's say, for example, people believe that there are like dark entities out there that come in and are parasitic, and they'll sit on your etheric or your psychic energy, and they'll suck things out of you. So, you know, are there exercises that people can do to keep these kind of spiritual things out of their field?
Yes, so I see what you're saying. If you're open to one thing, you could be, in a way, open to anything. Margaret Ruby's DNA work, possibilities work, is a great cleansing process. I've been doing some of that. But where you focus is really what you're going to bring in. So if you want to bring in beings of love and joy, focus on that, and it's like a magnet. You can't help but attract them.
That's the Abraham material, you know. And so often you're saying whatever you're putting out is going to be coming back. It'll mirror back.
Yeah. Also, I want to mention, what motive would people have for, like, poo-pooing any force that would help? If research has been done and shows that thanking water helps, why would anybody want to discourage that? To me, when I hear that, there's some kind of fear going on. And quite frankly, there's often something that has to do with money going on. And there's nothing wrong with money. Money can be love or money can be fear. That's a choice of what, in my opinion, what we put into it. But really think carefully about, who are you giving your authority to? Who are you letting you inform you? I don't want you to take me or anyone as an authority. I ask that you really take yourself as an authority and listen to what you're experiencing. However, there's two types of experience. There's experience of love, and there's experience of everything that's not love. Anything that my brain is informing me that's not love, I take it as something that I need to clear and clean out. Anything my heart is informing that is love, I take it as something to be grateful for so that it grows. And that's something people might want to try.
So say that once again.
Anything that my mind informs me about as some truth or reality that isn't based in love is an indication to me that I have some more cleansing, clearing, and healing to do. Anything that my heart indicates to me is love is something for me to be grateful for and watch grow.
Okay. I know it's been stated in different ways, but that's very good advice. Again, I always thought of it, if I get a charge on something or a reaction, that means Spirit is asking me to examine that so that I can move beyond it, hopefully. If it keeps coming up over and over again, obviously it's issues, and issues that are either programmed in. We talked a little bit earlier about how such issues can be just stuck in our pockets and we can't work on them themselves. My challenge has always been to ask for help, you know, and maybe that's part of the whole macho thing growing up. But to allow the dolphins into my life was a big, big step for me, to accept that, you know, maybe there was a higher way, another sentient intelligence that could guide me out of these forays that were not very healthy for myself.
Yeah. If you need some proof to feel that something is valid, you don't know it's valid, ask for proof. That's what I had to do. I needed some physical proof, because the things I'm talking about now, even though I felt them, I recognized them, were beyond my scope of what I was sure was true. I asked for proof, and I'd like to share three stories of physical proof that I think people out there are going to relate to, and it's going to help you to recognize your own proof.
Please.
It started with my mother's death. I mentioned that earlier. And she thought she wanted to live in this realm. She felt she wasn't ready to go on out of her body. And a cancer had developed in her body. And she did whatever she knew to do to heal that. And the doctor who diagnosed it said she had 3 months to live. And she extended that to 2 years. But there came a point where she knew that she was not going to be able to stay in her body. And so what she told my brother and sister and I is, if there's a way I can communicate with you once I move on, I will do it, and I will make it fun. The evening after my mother passed away, I went into her bedroom, and a star balloon, it was quite a large bedroom, flew over to me, and it said, "You're the greatest," on it. And it touched my heart, and it touched my head. And when it touched my head, I felt like I was a little girl again. Although I was an adult at the time, it felt like a mother bending down to touch her little girl. And it was my mother, and I went to get my brother because I thought maybe I was very upset about my mother passing on, and I was getting a little bit nuts. So I went to get my brother, who tends to be maybe a little more in the mainstream, more rational, I guess you could say, than me, or less filled with these kind of stories. And I said, "Can you go in Mom's room and see if you notice anything?" He noticed right away. He said, "That's Mom, isn't it?" And for a whole week, the balloon did all kinds of amazing things. We had a movie we wanted to show my mom. I used to be in performing arts, and she was so excited, and she wanted to see the show, and she couldn't come out. She was too sick, and she'd asked me to send it to her. I had mailed it to her, and she died before it came, so I put it in the video player. The balloon flew over. We sat there, watched the whole thing together, and the second it was over, the balloon flew off to another place in the room. And my sister, bless her heart, she's mentally retarded. I overheard her on the phone saying, "Well, my mother was a mother, it was good, but now that she's a balloon." Anyway, that was enough to really get my trust going. And I asked for validation from the animals because I wondered, am I just making this up? Is this how I want the animals to be? Is this me? And I'm calling it the whale, I'm calling it the dolphin, even though I was reading things, hearing things that other people are having similar experience that indicated to me, no, I'm tuning into these specific animal species. So my partner and I were on a walk, and I had really needed some proof to erase my doubt, and we saw a little lizard, and I communicated to the lizard, not with words, but with my heart, how I respected that lizard, how I loved that lizard, how I valued that lizard, as equal to me, and the lizard froze, and usually they dart away, and it darted right up on me, and it accompanied us for the walk, and that erased all kinds of doubt. And quite recently, just a few days ago, upon my arrival was a whale. I said, I need something to manifest physical before I go on that radio show.
This is in Molokai where you've been staying.
Yeah. I said, I need some proof because this is a step for me to talk about all this in public. And I said, please manifest, if I'm really tuning into you on in these other dimensions in the ethereal, show me in the physical. And I asked for that, and there comes this whale. It's hard for me to believe, I believe I see it jumping out of the water, and then I see the tail just waving and waving and waving and waving.
Tail flapping is one way to get your attention.
Got my attention.
Got 30 tons of flesh pounding on the surface of the water.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly is a great affirmation.
Yeah.
When you see something such a physical phenomenon like that.
Yeah. And who can help you to do that? There was a dog who assisted me. As soon as I got to Molokai, a little cat ran up, sat in my lap, and for the next day, I had a hard entrance into Molokai. I was expecting to get here. I feel at home in Hawaii. I was going to be in joy and bliss. It wasn't like that at all. Some little girl part of myself that doesn't like things on the mainland and was really angry just took over. I was complaining about everything. And the cats wouldn't leave me. They stayed with me through that transition until I was in a very good state. And then the dog, every time I would pray to see a physical manifestation of something, the dog would run up to me. And the dog told me that he is a teacher, he's a master, he's one with the island, he's one with the person there, and he's one with the cats, and that he could guide me to the understanding I needed. I actually couldn't have done it without those dogs and cats. They're far beyond me.
So when you say the dog communicated with you, this is kind of like an intuitive intention coming across,
yeah,
where you really sense the voice outside of yourself or the information that's coming in as like a bubble of experience. How would you describe it?
Well, how it is for me, and I want you to understand it's going to be different for each of you. Now, some people hear the language of the animals. What happens for me is our hearts connect, and they'll give me a physical sign. The dog was looking me deep in the eyes many times and running up. When I was planning for the radio show, he ran up. And he will transmit a message, and then I will be able to cognize it in English. I will be able to turn it. I can feel the intention, and I can turn it into the language that human species recognize. Everyone's process will be different, and it's something I really want people out there to hear this. Trust your own process. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we're coming up on the hour now. This is going very quickly. And I'd like to share another song. Maybe you can give us an intro to this song.
Yeah, this is called Enki Touch the Wild, and this is a song about two forces coming together, the force of our intuition, our wildness, and the force of the value in being socialized.
That's great. Well, we're going to listen to that. We'll be back in a few minutes, and talk more with Dr. Lori Moore here on DolphinVille.com.
Only in the cycle of his child, her eyes moved with the rising smoke, his body stayed in eternal hope. Now reaches her, she is rising. When the sun goes up and days are hottest, she lands like ashes with summer dust. Steady their heartbeats, calling their trust. Lend me your language, offer your time, I'll make the river yours, make your longing mine. Now touched the longing souls, only for the person that wants to be whole. His eyes cried in the April rains, her heart swelled from his city pain. He reached, he served, he's expanding. Springtime's making tiger lilies out of blacking. He's rising in the beds they built, a garden only trust can yield. Lend me your language, offer your time, I'll make the river yours, make your longing mine. They found the summer, the spring and the fall. Winter hurts but cradled their call. Spring melts its sorrow, invites summer days. Mystery answered, still mystery stays. They return.
Right, here we are, back again. DolphinVille.com radio, transmitting all over planet Gaia, planet Ocean. We have our guest, Dr. Lori Miller. She's been taking us into some fascinating realms.
Dr. Lori Moore.
Yes, that was the other doctor who was here in the parallel dimension. The non-three-dimensional realm, we had Dr. Lori Miller, who is a twin flame to Dr. Lori Moore. Thank you, and thank you for understanding my spaciousness here. We're talking about such things as animal communication, and we've been gifted with experiences with the dolphins and whales, and everybody wants to know what that is like to one extent or another. And I think it's important to realize that we all have a unique take on that, and you have to get in touch with your own ability to discern the information that's all around you.
I'd like to do a little exercise with people for that right now.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you to recall a time when you really felt something was trying to guide you, and for whatever reason you weren't able to quite go with it. You took yourself away, you rationalized it away, you said it couldn't be real, something else was more important, taking your attention. And remember what that felt like. Take a minute to really sit with yourself, eyes closed, breath full and deep, and remember what that felt like. What that felt like in your body. Recognize words that describe how that felt. And then back in that time, make a different choice. As though that time is now, go with the guidance. Go with the feeling, whatever it was calling you in another direction. Perhaps the direction didn't match with what you had learned from your society or culture or somewhere. But go with that direction now. And notice what it feels like inside your body, inside your heart, when you imagine yourself going with that direction. And then imagine yourself going with that direction for a longer amount of time, another week, really taking that direction wherever it's taking you. And imagine how it feels in your body if you are living in that direction. And say a few words to yourself that describe that feeling. And if it's a feeling that you enjoy, take a moment to be grateful for that.
I think we could do that several times a day.
Yeah.
And bring us back into focus.
Yeah.
Gratitude. Thank you for sharing that. I know that you've had several experiences now with different animal entities. They've been bringing in messages. There was something from a prior show that you met a white-fronted geese and Canadian snow geese while you were in Yuba City.
Yeah, the birds, really, those particular ones had a huge, huge impact on me. What they showed me is that this is the golden age of peace. It's now and it's here. And it's not actually anything we need to create. It's been created. Divine nature was able to create that. We have permission, if we give it to ourselves, to remember that now. And if we allow ourselves to remember that, then there's nothing to do, to change, to shift, to vote for, to put in place, to reorganize. If we allow ourselves to step into this reality of world peace that is actually existing simultaneously to whatever other realities we believe to be true, it's here. And we take steps from that reality, and then what needs to happen just happens naturally.
It's an important point, because we talked earlier, passing some of our thoughts and ideas back and forth, how we both sense that the millennial shift has already come and that the new matrix is upon us. It's a matter of just simply allowing it to be what is already. We're not waiting for anything to happen. And I think it's really important for people to realize and recognize that we are the cultural creatives. We're the ones who are instigating change. And although we can really take a lot of energy away from ourselves by believing what's being broadcast or advertised in the newspapers over and over again, that the world is a bleak place and that everything is impossible to change and that, you know, we're on a downward spiral, or we can actually believe what we all feel from our heart is the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all we need to do is listen to the truth. There's always some drama to be had or some.
I think we require it, you know. We see that commercial on TV. What is drama? You know, drama is conflict, and drama is, you know, bad things happening to good people. And yet,
we
there
like
is a certain
excitement.
Amount of drama.
Yeah, there is real drama in life, and there's excitement's great, but we can make excitement can be the fun. We don't need to have a.
I don't want my life to be a photograph with no texture. I want a tapestry of experience where there's some challenges that I've overcome. I don't want to be overwhelmed by such challenges, but I think a little bit of texture in your life, a little bit of spice, a little bit of challenge is a good thing.
Yeah, there's always something that can change, shift, or grow.
Well, you also mentioned that you've had experiences with mallard ducks and owls and geese, chickens and roosters, very smart assistants to you, who come to help and take us back to the divine state of oneness within us, that Garden of Eden that you talked about earlier. How do you feel that they help, and what kind of signs can we look for to notice this help?
These beings will show up when you are listening to yourself in most fun, interesting, funny, comical ways. Mallards who have never been shopping at Safeway. I saw mallards at Safeway when I was needed some affirmation.
In the store?
No, flying right towards my windshield.
Oh, okay.
The night before they got to it, they landed. Look for those kind of things. I was planning what I wanted to talk about for this show, and I needed a little assistance as I really opened up to my heart and stopped trying to control it and just listened to my heart. Chicken came over, put its wings in the air, looking right at me, and a rooster approached from the other side, making wonderful sounds I can't begin to copy. Yeah, so an owl showed up on the top of our house when I was beginning to listen to Joan's radio broadcast and saying yes, yes, yes to everything, yes to the love, yes to the peace. So these beings, and the dogs and the cats are amazing. They're living in the Garden of Eden, and when you join them, they will find a million ways to tell you.
So those are rich experiences with birds. Seem to be you have an affinity for the feathered friends,
yeah.
And the oceans and the birds and all the other kinds of animals, the canines, the dog star Sirius, as it's been called, maybe a relationship to the star beings that are known as dogs on the planet now. But speaking of star beings, you've had some experiences with very specific kinds of beings that you would identify as star beings and
yeah.
Some other kinds. Can you describe that?
Yeah, I've put them into several different categories at this point. One category I call the sun children. The Sun children have a very golden kind of energy. They're very sensual. They're very sweet, dancing protectors of the Sun. And their joy is that happiness comes back to the planet. Their joy is devotion. The star children are white stars, and sometimes they just show up as white stars that you can see glittering, and sometimes they show up in cat bodies or other, probably people bodies. I've seen them in animals. I'm sure there are people that are white stars. And then the golden pillar, I've seen people who are actually golden pillars of light who are just wearing bodies who are here to help.
And so you would describe those entities, so to speak, or a personification or a manifestation of a type of entity. How does, say, a golden pillar differ from a white star?
The golden pillars are very solid in their intention. They're great peace warriors. It's easy for them to be on the ground and walk the planet. And bring a calm tone to the planet. They can restore peace. The bright white stars do it in a more kind of, I would say, glitter, bright, popping in and out kind of way. And the Sun children are very subtle and quiet, and you'll recognize them when you want to. When I started to hear Joan Ocean speak on these shows, I came in contact with some beings that are some kind of star beings, and they're the ones that operated on me and changed the energy into benevolence. And they are available if you want help. If you speak to them from love and you invite them in, they can help you really change your DNA.
Hmm. Well, you've had some experiences with the star beings and dolphins on Molokai. Can you share some of that?
I've gotten some new messages coming in, and I'm only beginning to fully understand them, but I'll share what I found out, what was communicated to me. One thing that was communicated is that the way that we can communicate with each other right now is in an instant through our heart. So there actually is a channel from everyone's heart to everyone else's heart. So if you need to speak to someone there on the other side of the country, email's great. And there's another way. And as we get into different dimensions, I think it's been explained on one of your shows how in the second dimension it's flat and the third dimension is volume, and it goes on and on. The more complicated dimensions, there's some research coming out that the more complicated dimensions actually facilitate a certain kind of deeper harmony, which isn't what my mind would initially think, but it was shown in some of the experiments with the water. The very complex water crystals, when shown to people, were the ones that brought harmony to people. So my understanding is that as we go from dimension to dimension, the more complex dimensions, we can move at an accelerated rate, at a higher frequency. And from that frequency, we can communicate to each other in an instant. Now, I want you to recall a time when something like this happened to you. And I know things like this happen to people every day. I remember going to meet some friends who had come across the country in the Great Peace March. I said goodbye to them in California. I think this is about 10 years ago. Probably a lot of people heard of the Great Peace March. It went across the country. And I was in Washington, D.C. visiting my family when they arrived in D.C. 9 months later. So I headed down with my mother to the Washington Monument to find my two friends among 5,000 people. For some reason, it didn't dawn on me that maybe it would be hard to find them. We got there. I saw a room. I said, I'm going in that room. And I found my friend Lori. Her name's Lori, too. And I spent some time with her. And then a few hours later, I said, it's time to find Jay. I walked 20 feet, went up to complete strangers, said, do you know Jay? I'm not going to say his last name on the air, but do you know my friend Jay? And he said, yeah, he's right there. Now, when I talk to people about these things happen to people all the time. We're actually tuning into each other all day long. We're having conversations with each other in the ethers. We think it's our own private life. So we're actually in communication with people, animals, all day long. And a very fast way to operate at a frequency that will allow you to do this quickly is to go outside at night and stare at the stars for about 20 minutes. I'm going to ask you to do an experiment, actually. Stare up at the stars for about 20 minutes. Go inside. Think of someone you have a loving message that you want to give. Think of that person. See that person before you and send them your love. And then about a week later, ask them if they felt it. And I bet a lot of you will get reports, yes. We did. Well,
from Hawaii, they might be dreaming if they're on the mainland.
Yeah, but that's if they dreamt about you. The other thing that the star beings were telling me about DNA has actually to do with mother's breast milk. So this is especially a message for mothers who are about to have babies, who have babies, or who have babies and are breastfeeding at this time. Children, it has been said, are coming in, and Joan was talking about this, at higher frequencies now. So it doesn't take as long to... I know I had to do a lot of work to get back into these frequencies, or remember them, do a lot of healing. Children are coming in with them, and when you're giving birth, you're actually receiving a lot of those frequencies yourself. They're being implanted in you. And if there's been some turmoil, disrupt, something needs to be addressed in your family line, it doesn't matter what it is. If there's a way, it sounds very far-fetched, but I'm just going to go and say what I heard. If there's a way that you can get some of that milk that you're giving to your child to people who came before you, so your parents, or if your grandparents are alive, and you know, you don't have to tell them, just mix it in a pina colada if you're in Hawaii, mix it in something on the mainland. This will actually assist. And this sounds very far-fetched, but let me explain this. We're made out of water. And so we were talking a little bit before about how what we put into us changes us. So milk has been shown to be created in such a way that the child gets exactly what they need for their specific stage of development. Many people hear of colostrum. It's now taken to make one stronger. That's the beginning milk when a baby is born in different species. And that milk is provided, nature made it perfect, so that right when the baby needs to be given a big shot that will help his or her immune system, the colostrum does that. Now, the milk continues to do different things the baby needs for different levels of biological development. I believe it's actually assisting in the thought processes, too, the understanding, because a lot of what we believe comes down to our body. And you can see this when people haven't taken care of their body sometimes and they get very old and they haven't had a good relationship with their body and they start to feel very negative about life. I used to work in the nursing home, and people who had been thinking happier thoughts and taking better care of their body were having a very different perception about what reality was in the nursing home. It was like one nursing home. Everyone was living something very completely different. So you are putting milk into your baby that is full of messages. And so the new messages are needed by other generations, and that can assist with the healing. I also used to work in a kitchen, and we would feed hundreds of people. And we would find that sometimes when we were singing a song that none of those people heard, and by the time they came in, it was quiet and we were serving the food, 10 minutes into the meal, the people broke out into the same song. So there you go. I think there was a movie like Water for Chocolate where the woman cried her tears, and then the cook woman cried her tears, and all the people who were eating her food cried their tears. So you see, we're passing information to each other through physical matter, and that's why this milk, this message is something that could be valuable.
Well, I think we're reexamining the whole idea of liquid consciousness, and how the planet is mostly water, how our bodies are almost correspondingly the same proportions of water, and how that liquidness about us is a lot more significant than we possibly could imagine. All the importance has been put on our solid matter on planet Earth. Land masses have garnered all of our attention, and we pretty much ignored and used the oceans as a dumping. And now our consciousness is coming back to the primary element of what we are and who we are as a species on a planet. And that's the water elements, the basic hydrogen molecules, hydrogen and oxygen molecules that make up water are your sacred geometric tetrahedrons. And those are the things that now we're recognizing as gateways to higher levels of thinking and consciousness. So it's all interrelated. And Joan Ocean has talked about water being charged with information. Whenever a whale comes into, and Nassim mentioned this on a show last week, where when he was in the company of whales, he felt the whole texture of the water had changed. And yes, it was charged with this information. And maybe the dynamic molecular clustering of that water was affected by the vibrational frequencies, these subtle vibrational frequencies that the animals, the cetaceans, are so tuned into and are able to communicate on those levels. And we're just now opening up that. I think it's a great insight. And perhaps as science catches up to our own heart's intuitions, that the information you're sharing today may be very, very profound. So I think it's really good.
Yeah, I'd mentioned chanting before and saying we don't have to chant or do certain things we had to. But I'd like to mention the value of that based on what you just said, because what we're doing when we're chanting is we're changing the sound that's vibrating in ourselves. Chanting's a wonderful thing, and just in the way we're changing the vibration in ourselves when we come close to the whales or the dolphins, or we hear the sounds they make, it changes us. We change each other. Research shows that when a singer goes on stage, everyone in the audience begins, if you photograph everyone in the audience's vocal cords, they will start to vibrate in exactly the same way as the singer they are watching and listening to.
Wow.
So things can change very fast. And
we talk about resonant frequencies and how an orchestra is tuning up their instruments, and suddenly the cello player is tuning a string and the piano starts to resonate with the same thing. So our vocal cords are doing the same thing in a concert. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I think that's, again, sound is another thing that we've delved into in these shows, because the sound is very much a part of the cetacean reality. They've mastered sound. And it occurred to me intuitively, either from directly the dolphins or whales, that they chose sound as something to master because it was so much easier to get a handle on than light vibrations, which move at 183,000 miles per second. And we are chasing the ephemeral and elusive light forms and trying to formalize ways of understanding and using light reality, when if we'd step down to the denser, slower vibrational frequencies of sound, perhaps we could have done what the whales and dolphins have shown us, mastered a whole level of sensibility and subtle vibrational frequencies that would have given us all kinds of information.
That is something I didn't know, and that's very, very fascinating.
Yeah. So sound vibrations and refining science is bringing it back in, and on both sides of the equation, science uses and abuses their information. Sound vibrations are being used in the oceans now in the form of low-frequency active sonar, which is a replication of the biological systems that have been evolved over millions of years by the cetaceans to use as communication and looking at their environment. They're being used as crudely as one might compare two tin cans and a string to a telephone circuitry by the government and the military to inundate the oceans with very, very crude, loud sounds. It's unfortunate, but perhaps in the scheme of things, it's all going to come out in the wash, as they say, and we'll learn more about ourselves as a result of that. I'm very optimistic about such things, and so would tend to think that this is all going to be leading to higher things.
Yeah, and I like what you just said. I'd like us to think of whatever's happening in the world as part of us. It's not that they're over there. And on one level, they are over there. People do things that I don't approve of. Maybe I do things that other people don't approve of. But whatever's going on in our universe is part of us. It's all us. And so we have the constant opportunity to respond to our universe in a way that brings in, once again, the joy, the love, the gratitude.
Absolutely. Well, we moved into a little bit, touched upon some of these peripheral areas of communicating with star beings, of thinking about other than 3D realities and 3D entities. You've had some experiences with angels in the angelic realms and have accessed those in your experiences as well. How does it compare to the star beings, and how would you, say, recommend that people try to tune into these that might be different than the animal guides?
I have a personal experience of them being different, but I'd be curious to get emails from people who have other experiences. I think the most important thing is just to trust your heart and ask for the guidance that will be most valuable to you from your heart. And then it can come in whatever way it comes. My angel was with me years before I was able to tune into anything else, other beings. And I remember praying and praying for help during a hard time. And a golden angel appeared, not in the way that I've seen pictures of angels. It was just a gold light, actually, but I experienced it as a her. And she just said, doesn't matter what decision you make, all that matters is love. And that stuck with me for years. And later on, after I met Jacqueline Aldana and became involved with understanding the 15-minute miracle work, I stopped adopting the attitude that I should be so humble and grateful for any little thing that happened, that I had humbleness misunderstood. Humble just means to be grateful, to understand that we're surrounded by love and teachers and wonder. And as I started to practice my gratitude for that angel and ask that she appear more often, instead of she only appearing in times of great strain, she just became part of what was with me. And I've seen that her golden light shining when I'm in my heart. I went on a long night walk recently, and the golden light came and guided me home. I heard Joan Ocean speak about that golden light as some signs from the star being. So it might be that we're experiencing a lot of different entities and just all having different names for them.
Well, so much information is being brought in, and in my own experience, I see so many parallels. You know, somebody will be bringing in their intuition of what this information is, and it turns out to be exactly the same thing, slightly different titles or different nomenclature to describe the same experiences. We are met with a lot of ridicule in our society. Things like flying saucers or ETs have always been met with the severest of ridicule. In fact, people who were scientists, Tesla would be a great example, who had a masterminded, great technological advances, and yet when he mentioned to somebody that he was receiving messages from extraterrestrials, suddenly he was put on the goofy list of scientists and not really ever taken seriously again. How do you overcome that when you realize that a lot of this kind of sci-fi and fantasy kinds of thinking and characterizations of these experiences is what we're encountering or what we're up against?
Well, my purpose on the planet is love and joy, and I do things that bring love and joy to me, and I share them because that's what gives me more love and joy, and I know that's my service. When I was younger, I thought my service was to do something that was hard and give myself over to serving others. And I think I started serving others a lot more when I just started doing what makes me happy. So the whatever goes on in other people's minds about my mind is very secondary to me to the love I get to feel from my heart to others by sharing who I am.
Beautiful. Well, I know that you do workshops, intensives, as you call them, and you've developed some of these on the mainland, and you intend to bring some of these over to Hawaii. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, lately I've been doing small intensives where I invite between 3 and 5 people to participate for 6 weeks, and each person brings their next level that they want to go into. Now, the next level could mean I want to listen to myself more spiritually. It could mean I want to quit using drugs. It could mean I want to improve my relationship. It could mean I want to experience the devas and angels and star beings myself. It's whatever your heart is really calling forth in you. So it's either moving into something that you know is there for you, but you just need the support and help, or removing something that has become a self-defeating problem for you. And the intensive includes work with a group. And my work, it's a lot of play. We use all kinds of things that I would call play, but it's very challenging. It's taking an honest look at oneself. It's very fun. And then it includes private work with me individually each of those weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you do plan to try to do some of those over in Hawaii here?
Yeah. As soon as there is an interest, I will be doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about sending you emails and getting in contact with you. Just for people who've got a pencil handy, just write down Dr. D.R. Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, Moore, Moore.com. That's www, of course, and that's her website. It has some of the information we're talking about. Mostly, it'll allow you to get in touch with her. If you have questions here on the show, you're welcome to send them out. If we do have time, we might get to them, or I can forward them to Dr. Laurie afterwards. That email is broadcast@dolphinville.com. And I would encourage anybody listening who has questions and wants some follow-up with any of the guests, we'll always forward these things on to them, and we have a chance to get to them during the show. Well, I know that you do these intensives, and you've had quite a bit of experience living in so-called spiritual communities, ashrams and such. Have you had the opportunity to help people who've been, you know, within your therapy practice, that is, who've been in situations of spiritual communities, but it has not been a positive one? You've had to sort of do deprogramming or something like that.
I'm opening my practice more and more to that because I myself had such a mixed experience. I feel I wouldn't be here on the show open to everything I'm talking about today if I hadn't spent the time myself personally in the ashrams, where great teachers helped me and taught me wonderful things. At the same time, those places often fail to acknowledge my own inner gifts and try to stifle them away with certain rituals that perhaps work for someone else in another time, in another place. And I've encountered many people who've been through things like this. So I am opening my practice to work more with people who have some healing, some recovering work to do from some hurt or disappointment that happened through being part of a spiritual community. A spiritual community is very hard because we want to be unconditional love. And the whole, as far as I know, at least this at this time, the task of a human is to become that. I don't know that there's anyone who is that all the time. It's a wonderful gift when I feel I am that, and then other moments are spent learning how to return to that. And I would think that most people are in that place. So because of that, when we're in a spiritual community, all our egos start rubbing up against one another. And to have that community facilitated in a way that is healing, that's my ideal, that's my dream, that's what I'm trying to do a little microcosm with my intensives, because I've seen it get so out of hand so many times.
Well, we have a community here, and we've made it our conscious attempt to be a conscious community, and we've met at different occasions, and we've shared joy and happiness and celebration. We've also had some serious meetings together to figure out how we can be in a spiritual limelight and still make a living here in the 3D reality. So these are real issues without all living in the same property or on a farm or communally going out and picking fruit as a means to support the community. It's more of a collection of people who we recognize that we all have our individual lives, but the common belief system that draws us together anyway is that we accept that there is another sentient species out there. The dolphins and whales have demonstrated to all of us personally, and we can accept that we are not alone in that, and that's our common belief system. So maybe that's part of a key. Could there be any other things that we would consider to unify the conscious community or spiritual community concepts?
To unify the concepts or to make the community have more unity?
Or cohesiveness amongst those people.
I think it comes down to the same things that really improve the couple relationship, too. Stay in a state of gratitude. If you have a problem, assume you have a problem before you decide it's someone else's problem and that you need to fix or change or advise them, mm-hmm. and go spend some time working out what your problem is. Once you work out your side of the problem, it's easy to communicate to another person from love. If you have something to communicate to another person and you can't do it from a place of love, there's something for you to address first.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the 7 points, the chakra points that we were looking at for the ideal relationship, perhaps a similar kind of chart would be composed for people living together or wanting to associate within a spiritual community that they would be able to look at as well.
Yeah, that you are here for a similar purpose or that your purposes are somewhat in alignment. And also, we were talking before about how much everything is a choice. I have a choice every minute. My brain can make up anything it wants, but I have a choice every minute to go back to my heart and have my brain serve my heart instead of my heart serving my brain. And that, for me, that's what works over and over again.
You have to keep reminding yourself of that. Well, we've got a little bit of the show left. Why don't we listen to a few minutes of the beautiful whale sounds that we're being inundated with. Talk about whales, feeling what it feels like to be in that sound space. We'll be back after a few minutes and talk more with Dr. Lori Moore. Be right back. Dolphinville, back with you on the air with Dr. Lori Moore. We've been talking about, well, pretty wide spectrum of things, from relationships, partnerships, the goals of people might share, how that would apply to spiritual communities. More importantly, we've been talking about realms other than the 3D reality that we're all comfortable with, and what we've been programmed into our belief systems as being the way it is in reality, and anything outside of that maybe should be called into question. We're looking at how to call these things into question. And I guess one of the questions that does come to mind, and has been hammered home by Western medicine particularly, if we are always longing for worlds that aren't in the physical realm, aren't we sort of enforcing the psychological inability to cope with reality as it really is?
And here's my question. If two people were driving down a road, and it was a long, long straight road, and far ahead you could see a beautiful sunset, and if you turn your shoulder and look behind you, you could see the dump, and one person focused on the sunset, and one person focused on the dump with their head over their shoulder, there's a lot more chance that who is going to end up at the sunset. So you know, if you're driving and you turn your head and you look over your shoulder, it's kind of hard to keep driving forward. Your body just starts to fall, and if your body follows, your thoughts start to follow, and soon you're there looking at the dump. And then you know that the dump's reality because you see it. You can even go touch it, and you can come up with lots of theories to prove it's real. But if you follow that sunset, even if it looks far ahead, sooner or later you get there, and then you have all kinds of reasons to know that that's real. So you have a choice on Earth as to what reality you want to live in. There's all kinds, and I know as a therapist, I encounter so many different realities in my office. You know, right in the same town, there's all these people you think they live in completely different planets. Mm-hmm. So dream what is real to you and what your heart most deeply desires, and it will come.
That's solid. But there's always the but here, you know. We're dealing with psychological conditions, and the question would become if, you know, we're always staying in these states where everything is going to be wonderful and the sunset is always there. Aren't we having a tendency to ignore some of the serious issues? The ozone is failing and the environment and the oceans are polluted. What happens if we are putting too much energy there and are wishing, instead of being or getting addicted to these Pollyanna attitudes rather than being more solidly grounded?
That's a very good question. Yes, do play your role. You know, do what you need to do to build the planet you want to build. If you want to live in a beautiful house, you can, you know, you have to buy one or build one. You can't just sit and dream about it. So our active work in the third dimension is, of course, just as important as our work in the dreaming dimensions. We start with the dream, and then to make it come to life, we have to do the physical work.
Well, we were talking earlier, and I was giving you the analogy that when I work with web design with people, and I have them visualize that cyberspace is a perfect medium for in between the thought process manifestation and the physical reality. So perhaps there's a way station there in between the two realms, so the dream world, the interior world of dreams and fantasies, the way that we think the world is, and then the exterior world, which is the influence of hard reality out there. And we're coming to a new understanding of the way those two things fit together within each of us. That's part of the work that I do here, and I think therapists are recognizing that it's not just cut and dry. Not everybody fits into the same mold.
No, everybody's important. Different, and patience is a wonderful, wonderful quality that exists in our planet. And when we dream something, having the patience for the time lapse in between that we see it on the physical is a great thing. But if we're feeling it inwardly, the feeling is really just as fulfilling as what we imagine it to appear when it comes to its physical manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring it full circle again. We were talking about these other realms. You've had some experiences with the so-called devic realms, or little angels and fairies, as well as angels, or I should say the devic realms, meaning fairies and gnomes and sprites and those kinds of things, as opposed to the larger angelic realms or even the animal spirit guide realms. Are they different? Is it part of the same spectrum? How
would
you distinguish?
There's a level at which everything is actually just the same thing. There's a level at which all of us are just one, and whatever form or flavor of energy is just for joy, for fun, it's interesting. Then there's another reality simultaneously, our separateness reality, in which all these different forms come in different flavors and in different appearances. And so trust what you see. If you've seen devas, you saw them. Trust it.
Well, how do you experience them?
I've seen little fairy-type beings around flowers and around people who honor and worship the gardens and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do they appear like little gnats in the air or little how would they look if you say seen them?
I am a more of a feeler than a visual, so I tend to see things in lights. I see a slight image of kind of body-shaped beings, very short, dancing around.
Yeah. Well, living on the Big Island as we do here, the nature is so rich, and nature is so much more in control of everything that's going on. We all recognize that Madame Pele is spewing forth her volcanic flow, which is Mother Nature at her richest and most dynamic. So I myself have seen at times, and I'm a more visual person perhaps, so when I get an impression of something, it's very much like the Hawaiian indigenous people here would be able to create a mask or a carving that was to them a personification of one of these spirit entities that inhabited the land. And so often when I'll be driving or walking and I'll look at a clump of growth, and there might be several types of tree branches that are overlapping, and the negative space which is formed in an instant at that particular angle suddenly is a direct replica of one of those ancient spirit faces.
Wow.
And so I wonder to myself, now am I seeing that because I first had seen one of the masks, or am I seeing that just as the ancient indigenous people saw it and replicating it as a carving?
Yeah, and we always wonder, and it's great to just stay with the wondering, but to just also trust the experience that there's a value to it either way.
It's all about timing. We talked about timing as a guide rule to the way that life influxes and the way information flows. A good friend of mine is very good at using one of those Insomatic cameras and walking around and snapping at will. And she'll come out with the most incredible devic pictures, tree trunks with faces in them and leaves coming together, which, you know, oh, my God, look at that. And she would just simply say, well, it's just timing, you know, of being able to snap it at that instant. And, of course, there seems to be a cooperative, okay, we're going to allow you to take our picture, and you'll be able to see it if you know how to look at the image in just such a way.
I think cooperative is the key word about everything we've been talking about. Communication with animals, communications with beings from any of these other realms all comes through cooperation. And it has to be of mutual consent. We can see when we're given permission to see, when our heart wants to see, for goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can, when we're open to it, we can see.
Again, it's the partnership issue, isn't it? We talked about lovers. We talked about long-term relationships. We talked about the St. Valentine's Day and what that represented into our collective consciousness. How the same kinds of principles apply to whether we're talking about one other person or a community of other people, whether we're talking about another human being or whether we're talking about another animal or another spirit being. So these same principles seem to come back again and
again. I think so. I wanted to clarify something that's come up vaguely throughout our talk today, and that is we've talked about choice, we've talked about gratitude, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't give anyone the impression that when you're not in a space of gratitude or when you don't know how to choose to be in that, that you're doing something bad or wrong. Or what really, I honor the dolphins' wisdom about this, and the dolphins embrace. So once again, the dolphins show that the love is always there. Some traditions try to get you to wipe out your ego. The dolphins show the ego is just sensation in motion. It's energy in motion. So we can be in the love and just lighten up, play with the ego, and then the ego's a fine thing. When we can't be in a state of joy or gratitude, we can have peace with whatever's coming out of us. We all have all kinds of aspects of ourself that aren't gratitude, that aren't joy, when those parts are there, if you can just sit, be, feel, allow that part without taking it out on anyone, without doing harm to anything or anyone, just be with it, it naturally begins to dissipate and turn into something else. It's just like if you encounter a person or an animal and you're loving towards that person or animal, more of their goodness comes out. But if you're mean, of course, they'll feel defensive or they'll scratch. You know, they'll do what they need to, depending on what kind of being they are. It's the same with aspects of ourself. When we just let them be, we acknowledge them, we embrace them. As in the situation I was talking about with the client earlier, who was able to heal by embracing, acknowledging himself rather than resisting himself, then those parts of us can soften, transform, turn into something that's more fulfilling, more pleasing.
Well, that's certainly solid advice for all of us to consider. Would there be an overall message that you would like to leave people with today, if we could capsulize it?
Yes, to trust yourself. And if you have any inclination that there is oneness in this world, that you are part of a oneness, and that oneness is just part of divine love, to trust your heart and keep following that. Keep following that feeling. One other thing I didn't mention yet that the dolphins were showing me during my visit, they were showing me lots of circles. And they showed me to entertain the possibility, and instead of seeing the world as second dimension, third, fourth, fifth, with all the lines, to see, they showed a picture of a circle surrounded by circles, and each of those circles surrounded by circles going into infinity. And it was suggested to me in the message that came in that this could have something to do with the answer to all biological illnesses, such as cancers and other things, and psychological illnesses, because the way that we're viewing things is based on an idea of separateness. And our ideas of separateness have actually cracked and changed intentions in a divine plan that was meant to help and be solid and whole. And in remembering through our love, through our hearts, the goodness, the oneness that's among all things, these forms can come back to us and be healed. Be what they are. They were originally.
Hmm. Well, circles, as you know, is a two-dimensional representation of what would be considered sphere. Hmm. And Nassim Haramein, our guest in the last couple of weeks' shows, demonstrated how the sphere is the most natural energy form in the universe, and how all the molecular structures, the spins of the planets themselves, the suns, the galaxies, all are replicating this spin motion, which is spherical in nature. And so it would not surprise me if the dolphins weren't sharing, as they have many times and in many different ways. One of the earlier shows, we talked about the bubbles that the dolphins decided to be blowing. And we're talking about bubble rings, folks, that look like smoke rings, but they're coming out of the dolphins' blowholes as a perfect tube torus or donut shape that is an undulating form. And again, we talked a little bit about this last week. The whales also demonstrated up off of the northeast coast during one of the whale seasons, how they were using these gigantic bubbles to demonstrate the dynamic of what it looks like for this kind of an energy form to exist, this big tube torus. And they were playing with it. The dolphins and whales were playing with it. And I think this is a combination that the message coming from the dolphins and the whales for me and so many people is that here's real information. We have stuff that we can repair everything that seems to be in a state of disrepair. But joy is really at the bottom of it all. Play with it. Be light and be the light.
Yeah, because we're not wrong. We're not bad. And we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. Whatever your personal problems are, really, you didn't create them by yourself. It's just part of the transformation, the evolution that's happening. Mm-hmm. And when you can see things that are what you consider your personal problems from that point of view, it takes away all blame, all resentment. It is what it is. And like Dolphin has said, it's something to be played with.
Life is to be enjoyed, and joy is the key element here. So what would you say the star being's major message is for us to bring it all together?
Cooperation. Let the help come in. The help that is needed cannot be done by willpower, by human will alone. Let the help come. It's loving. It's benevolent. It's unconditional care. Just invite it in.
So let go of the fear and the techniques that you've developed and some of the suggestions that you make and nurse people through with the intensive is to get over some of these blocks and fears that we've inherited or that we've developed through cultural programming. And when we get to that certain level, then we can begin to accept that there is help there waiting for us to allow that to happen.
Yeah, and the two ways, once again, it's not that we want to make the fear wrong or say, you know, get out fear. Either embrace the fear and notice that the fear is just energy, and when embraced, it becomes sensation, and then it just becomes some activity around the love. That's all it is. Or choose the opposite. If you don't like the way something is, if you don't like the thoughts you're thinking or the feelings you're having, focus on the opposite. So if you don't enjoy fear and you rather not just embrace it and let it change naturally into something else, focus on love and gratitude instead.
Well, it comes back to choice. And the focus, as you say, is a choice. We talked a little bit earlier about basically you have three choices. You can do nothing, or you can have a reaction to whatever is coming your way, which reacting to me is a fear base, or you can act upon something with love. So our choices really are threefold: to take it as something that we're reacting to act upon it in a positive way, or to sit mutely and just let it pass on through.
Yeah, and when you're reacting and it's beyond your ability to change that, seek help from yourself, from within, or from the outside. Because we all have those pockets where we just don't know how to do that.
Well, the help part, I'm glad that we have such a wonderful biosphere of animals and spirit entities that all seem to be congregating here. And I think they're all looking at us with studied eyes and hopeful hearts that we will be able to make the transition perhaps back to a place that we've already been, to remember a part of our heart selves that can reconnect us to all that is.
Yeah, to all that is. And we actually are, as we said before, we actually are there. It's just part of our consciousness is, and part of our consciousness isn't.
Well, that's great. Well, we're just about at the end of our show now. I do thank you so much for making a special effort to come all the way over here.
Thank you so much. What a joy. Yeah, it was very, very, very fun and very wonderful to
and
be here.
So you do plan to be coming back.
I do.
You're putting it out to anybody who's hearing this or any friends that you know of who are interested in perhaps doing one of these intensives to get in touch with you on your website.
Yes.
You can leave messages here at Dolphinville if you wish. Lori is one of the members of Dolphinville. This is how she came in touch with this kind of information. Dolphinville seems to be growing in membership as people find out about these radio shows and recognize that we're giving information away here, folks. And this isn't stuff that is intended to frighten you or to force you to buy something. It's really intended to liberate you, to allow you to look at how joyous life can be.
Yeah, please take whatever in this radio message touches your heart, helps you, and supports you. And anything that doesn't is not for you. It's for someone else out there. So just let it go.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important discernment that we can use for everything coming in. We've had some really great examples, and you shared so much wisdom today that it's really appreciative. To remind everybody out there, this show will be available to you as an archive if you become a member of Dolphinville.com. It'll be available on the special radio archival page. It'll still be on the public access pages as part of the radio. And I would encourage you to join if you haven't already. Dolphinville membership is free of charge. We have things that allow you to connect with others of like-mindedness.
It's a real joy to be able to talk to people who talk about the same things.
Yeah.
You talk about these things. I, if it would be okay, wanted to mention Gina Palmer's website, since she was so instrumental in getting me here. I feel some great gratitude.
Absolutely.
I've learned so much from her about talking to the animals. She's at pawsandclaws.net.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Gina was just here last week. We were sharing in a seminar with Joan Ocean, and she's quite an energetic being, I must say. It was really fun to be able to spend time with her, swimming out into the ocean, looking at the dolphins and watching the whales breach around us, and sharing some private time. She's quite insightful and just a bundle of energy.
Yeah, and she's a direct channel. She can let you know anything your animal is trying to say to you, your individual animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe at some point in the future we'll get Gina back to share some time and space on the show. So once again, thank you, Dr. Lori Moore.
Thank you so much. Yeah. What a joy. Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you, Randy, and Photon.net for being able to facilitate yet another broadcast here into the biosphere of Planet Ocean. I'm grateful for all the listeners and would encourage you to tell your friends about this if you'd like to share this information. Dolphinville.com radio is a public service. It's here to bring joy and a positive information flow out to the planet Earth. So I hope you're enjoying the shows and enjoying the information as it's coming to you. If you have any suggestions or questions, please don't hesitate to send them to broadcast at Dolphinville Radio, dolphinville.com, and I'll be happy to address them in whatever way I can. On Dolphinville, we also have such things as forums for educational purposes, exchange of information. There is a live chat room, and I would hope that some people would use that. It's a brand new facility in some ways, and it will be working if you want to work it. That's how it all works, folks. It's only as good as you make it. And I put it out there as a community service so that we can all use it together and enjoy and share in this wonderful new opening of the new matrix, the new millennium, the new way of being, the new cetacean nation, and the way that we are on planet Gaia. So thanks for listening once again. I will see you next time around. We're going to be having some local people, Doug Hackett and his lovely wife, Trish Reagan, will be here to share with some of their dolphin experiences. They have Dolphin Spirit of Hawaii as their programs, and also Sacred Partnership and Eternal Essential Joy that they have developed for people. So next week's guests will be Doug and Trish, good friends of the Dolphinville community. So this is, once again, Dolphinus signing off for this week. I want you all to know that I love you very much, and to remember, as what the dolphin said to me, be well and swim free. This is Dolphinus. Until next time, see you.